Hello. This is Lois Reitzes. Welcome to City Lights, a celebration of the infinite ways in which people express themselves creatively through music, dance, food, the written word, visual art, theater, storytelling, and more. It was on June 19th, 1865, that Union soldiers landed in Galveston, Texas. They brought with them the news, "The war is over." Major General Gordon Granger read the following statement. "The people of Texas are informed that, in accordance with a proclamation from the Executive of the United States, all slaves are free. This involves an absolute equality of rights and rights of property between former masters and slaves, and the connection heretofore existing between them becomes that between employer and free laborer." June 19th has become a day of celebration known as Juneteenth. Witnesses of that Texas proclamation began to mark the occasion each year, according to the Juneteenth.com website. A range of activities were provided to entertain the masses, many of which continue in tradition today. Rodeos, fishing, barbecuing, and baseball. Here on WABE, we're going to celebrate with master storyteller Mama Koku, who will appear at the Atlanta History Center this weekend. We'll have this and more today on City Lights. Brightening city lights today. In addition to master storyteller Mama Koku, is Joanna Arrieta, who is the director of adult and family programs at the Atlanta History Center. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm.
So, Joanna, if you would give us an overview of how the Atlanta History Center plans to celebrate Juneteenth, that would be great.
Sure. This is our third annual year of doing a Juneteenth celebration. We're really excited that we get to offer it for free to the public both days, Saturday and Sunday, so please come on out. We've got a wonderful lineup, of course. We've got Mama Koku. She will be doing her storytelling at 11 and 2 on Saturday. Then we've got Manga African Dance, a wonderful, vibrant dance group that will be doing a performance at 1 and 3 on Saturday. Lots of things at our farm, wonderful museum theater performances, and as you were introducing Juneteenth, our award-winning playwright Adai Moon has written a wonderful play about the origins of Juneteenth and that order, that general order that was given and released that day. So that's called The Order of Freedom, and that will be done twice a day, Saturday and Sunday, in air conditioning.
So. Oh, good.
Yay! and then on Sunday, we've also have a musical component. We've got the African American Philharmonic Jazz Orchestra performing for us, and Rob Cleveland will be our storyteller on that
day. Rob was on just last week with us. 2 weeks ago, wonderful actor and storyteller and comedian. Well, do we know how the very name Juneteenth, how the nine got taken out or contracted, how that came about?
It's obviously a shortening of June 19th, but I think a lot of people who are looking at the linguistic evidence are still trying to figure that
out.
So here in Atlanta, actually, as it gets its origins in Texas, we were celebrating an Emancipation Day, as many in this region were. And so that kind of, as time moves forward, that all gets wrapped up into this Juneteenth celebration, because June 19th did not mean anything for us here in Atlanta.
Well, and the question also arises, the Emancipation Proclamation was 2 years before. So why do we celebrate something in 1865, granted it was the end of the war, if supposedly slaves were freed in 1863.
Well, the Emancipation Proclamation, and, you know, it took effect January 1, 1863. It only affected those in rebelling states. So there were still states in the Union that had slaves. And also, it could only be enforced by those who had federal troops. So it all has to do with the federal troops being able to enact those orders. And then in 1865, it's no longer just a war measure.
Aha. Mm-hmm. And this is why we have historians and history setters talking with delightful guests from the Atlanta History Center, Joanna Arrieta and Mama Coco. Will be back with some fabulous storytelling in a moment on City Lights from WABE Atlanta. Donna Kokumobui is known professionally as Mama Koku. She is a master storyteller and children's writer. Welcome.
Yes, thank you so much, Lois Wrightsis. I'm glad to be here.
Well, we are very excited to have you. And I think it might be a good place to start off talking about what live storytelling can do that's different from reading to an audience or performing theatrically in a play.
Oh my goodness. I think, at least as far as my experiences go, when you are in front of a person and they are telling either a personal story or maybe a story from their memory, from their heart, from their history, it just kind of pulls you in even more. I remember as a child, my dad telling my baby brother and I stories, and there was something about that relationship, that human connection that goes further from a book, that's deeper than reading from a book. Or, you know, later on visiting the theater when you might be in the middle row or the back row. There's something about getting close to that person who's communicating to you. Their laughter, their energy, how they felt, their feelings. It just hits you more when you are in close proximity or when one person is sharing their energy.
So there's an intimacy.
An intimacy, definitely.
Yeah, and it feels spontaneous, though I imagine there are stories which you retell. Is it improvisatory? How much?
Oh, lots of improvisation. Even when storytellers, I guess aspiring storytellers, sometimes they'll ask me, how did you learn that story? How do you have that story in your head? And I say, no, you number one, you tell what you love. You hear a story, and if you love it, if you like it, if you have a connection to it, it's there. A lot of us grow up with the stories like The Three Little Pigs or Cinderella or whatever they may be. And you could tell that story. Lots of us in the room or out there can tell that story. And it's not because we've practiced it or we've, you know, read it and tried to memorize it line for line. It's just because we know it. Something about those stories connected to us and they're in us. And so when I tell stories, I don't practice them too much.
Ah.
I just kind of know them. I kind of feel them. I kind of take them in. And then I share what's inside me.
Well, it sounds like you had a great start with your dad telling you and your brother tales when you were little kids.
Yes.
What were his stories about?
Oh, I am so glad you asked that question. My dad told what a lot of us know as the Br'er Rabbit stories, which is very Southern, very African-American. Joel Chandler Harris, he collected those stories, so they became part of, you know, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, the Wren's Nest House Museum over in the West End. And so when I came to Atlanta and started hearing other storytellers and went to the Wren's Nest, it was like, I know this. I know these stories. And I know that my dad wasn't a Joel Chandler Harris reader or anything, but it was just part of our culture, part of our history.
And isn't it marvelous how that history is not only passed down, passed on, but disseminated across state lines, across the world.
Across the world, yes, because even though they came with us from Africa, and you have a Nonzi the spider who's tricky, and he turns into Br'er Rabbit who's trickier. You just see it in other cultures too. All of those tricksters, all those characters that we create as I guess kind of manifestations of alter egos of ourselves,
It really underscores what people refer to as universal themes.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get into more of that in a moment. You're listening to City Lights on WABE Atlanta. I'm Lois Reitzis here with Mama Koku. Donna Kukumabui, a.k.a. Mama Koku, master storyteller, here with us on City Lights this morning. Your background is in theater, and you've written children's stories. You're performing tomorrow at the Atlanta History Center as part of the Juneteenth celebration. We know that fairy tales, folk tales, in many ways are a way for children to learn to understand about frightening things, loss, violence even. But usually there is a moral and something soothing at the end.
Mm-hmm.
How do you approach storytelling for something as difficult and painful as slavery?
Oh my. I think in stories, especially we were just speaking of the Br'er Rabbit stories, all of those stories that were created by African people and told by enslaved African people here, those stories are about slavery. So even though you don't tell children about maybe you're not saying the master, and you're not saying we appear to be powerless. In those stories, you have a rabbit, and he would appear to be a powerless creature, and at the mercy of animals or characters like a fox and a bear, and he's constantly over and over in the stories outwitting, outsmarting. He's showing that he's got something inside that's just as good, or even something that can take him to that place of freedom, you know, in the end. And children, they make those connections. I think we sometimes serve them a little, we give them a little bit, not as credit as, yes. as not as much credit as they're due. I'll share a really quick story. I'll never forget my daughter. We were watching Spirit. It was a Disney film about a horse and growing up in my household, we hit talking about slavery, not the horrors of it, but just in general that once upon the earth, black people didn't have freedom to go where they wanted to go, do what they wanted to do, and be what they wanted to be. And we're watching this Disney movie about a horse, and she said, and she was about 4 years old, four, and she says, "Mama, they're treating that horse like a slave." Oh. And I was like, I was just blown away. Children make the connections. They know what freedom is, even though we try and, we want to protect them, but we're, into controlling their lives a certain amount. When they get away from you in the grocery store, they are trying to be free. They're trying to go where they want to. And when they hear stories and Br'er Rabbit gets free from Br'er Fox, who's, after him, trying to hold him down, they get it.
So
they get it.
They understand metaphor years before they learn what the word means.
Yes, it's all talking about connection and how you see that relates to something else and how that is like something else and how that rabbit is me and that superhero. The summer reading series for the libraries is every hero has a story. And so I've been going to these libraries and all the children are they're holding their chest up and their heads up and they're saying and I think there's a connection for them because children, they want to be powerful. They want to be in control. And that's what they're moving towards in their lives, even though as parents, myself included, is like, no, we don't want you to go into the light. They want to do those things and be that way.
Well, would it be a spoiler if we asked you to give us a little bit of what might be performed tomorrow?
Oh, I guess not. A little bit.
Good.
Oh, you mean just the tell, or you don't mean to tell the story? Do you mean just to tell
everything
what I'm going
you want to
do?
You want to tell us about it? You want to give us a few lines? I think it will only whet the appetite for folks to go hear you at the Atlanta History Center's Juneteenth celebration.
Very good. Tomorrow I'll be telling the stories of my ancestors, the stories that they told while they were enslaved here in America. And some of those stories will include a rabbit who is always trying to get free. Oh, yeah, Br'er Fox. Really, really, really gonna eat me up today? Oh yeah, Br'er Rabbit, this is gonna be the end of you. I don't think so. Maybe you should try some barbecue, or maybe you should try a little bit of squirrel today. No, don't want no squirrel. Don't want no, what was that you called that, Bobby? Whatever it was. Don't want none of it. Today, I'm gonna make a rabbit stew out of you. Okay, if you insist.
Do they ever get scared?
No.
I was getting scared.
No.
I really identified with the inner part of that rabbit.
They don't get scared. Something in children, they know that it's going to be all right in the end. Their eyes get big and they lean in. But they know that there's a happy ending so far in most of the stories. I don't know, some grown-up stories, they're delving a little bit too much into reality. But for children, they know that their stories, they still have happy endings.
This is going to be just fantastic. And in your library work, what other stories, what other types of stories do you bring?
Oh, my. Well, this season, this for the summer reading program, Every Hero Has a Story, I'm doing an original Mama Koku story, and I have to do my shout out, my daughter, Blessed Nia Yami. She also helped me with this story, and it's a story about a little boy or a little girl. My stories are interactive. I am always joined on stage with children, so I'm never alone, and I make these props, but the props that indicate character. But the library story is about a hero or heroine, a little girl, a little boy, who is out trying to be independent, responsible, reliable, because his mother or father, it all depends on who I bring on stage, has told them that they need to do certain things that morning. And as they go through the day of doing those tasks, those chores, he meets all of these wonderful people in his or her community, and they end up being real live superheroes to that character, to the little boy or the little girl.
Yeah. We've been talking with Mama Koku, Donna Kokumobui, who is a master storyteller here in the Atlanta area and travels around storytelling as well. She'll be part of the celebration this coming weekend at the Atlanta History Center's Juneteenth celebrations. Joanna Arrieta is the Director of Adult and Family Programming at the History Center. I must say, hats off to the History Center for not only continuing the Juneteenth celebration program, but for all you do to be inclusive, to tell the entire story of people who live here in Atlanta, here in the South, particularly in the wake of painful news recently, tragic news. It is so gratifying to know that so many of us share these universal themes and can celebrate together.
Thank you so much. It's our pleasure.
And there's more information on the Atlanta History Center website?
Yes, www.atlantahistorycenter.com/family. And there is food for sale. It's completely free. Jim and Nick's barbecue's coming out. Mama Koku's there. So much fun.
It will be great fun. Mama Koku, what's next? What follows the History Center gig?
Oh, my goodness. After the History Center, next week I will be in Columbus, Georgia, not Ohio. I'll be in Columbus touring their library center, telling stories about our friendly neighborhood heroes. And later on, I'll be doing more writing for the upcoming school year, writing with the local museum. Sometimes I look and see what's coming up with the local museums and different events coming into town to see if I can fit in somewhere, somehow.
Will you come back to City Lights?
I would love to come back to City Lights.
Well, we'd love to have you.
Yes. And, you know, I got to say, I really appreciate WABE and its inclusiveness. You know, I tune in and I hear so many things that reflect me and my culture. And it's just wonderful. You know, it's just wonderful to kind of go down the radio, what do you call those things, buttons,
yeah,
and say, oh, wow, that's WABE? And you just stay there.
That's,
you know, you stay there
because
you see something.
We all ennoble each other.
Yes, yes.
Thank you again. This is City Lights on 90.1 WABE Atlanta.